All righty.
Everybody hear me okay? It's funny, I get to, being back there all the time, I get to tell everybody when you wear these things, you know, just wear naturally, and it's not natural. For those of you who may not have paid attention to our Instagram page, I am not Pastor John. I am Brian Brown. I am one of our elders. James, our other elder, who normally fills in for Pastor John, is preaching at Plainfield Baptist. So you're stuck with me. So today, if you saw the sign or the words, life lessons from the Hokey Pokey, everybody knows what the Hokey Pokey is, right? All right. With all the kids being in the service, is there a child in here that would like to come help lead us in the Hokey Pokey? Any? Two? Youth? There's some youths. Come on, Annie. You do it? No? Nobody? There are no kids. Nobody. All right, is everybody stretched? All right, come on. You know how it goes, right? You going to lead us? No. Okay, we need everybody to stand up. This is an action thing. All right, let's get warmed up. Everybody stretch to your right. Stretch to the left. Stretch down. Back. Come on, get those legs up. You know, this uses everything. All right, you ready? Okay, here we go. You put your right hand in, you put your right hand out, you put your right hand in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself about. That's what it's all about. That's where we stop, right? No? There's more. Okay, what's next? The left hand. Okay, here we go. You put your left hand in, you put your left hand out. You put your left hand in and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself about. That's what it's all about. That's where we stop, right? No. What's next? Right foot. Okay, here we go. You put your right foot in, you put your right foot out. You put your right foot in and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself about. That's what it's all about. Is that it? No. What's next? Left foot. Okay, here we go. Yeah, put your left foot in. You put your left foot out. You put your left foot in and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself about. That's what it's all about. What's next? Are we done? Put your whole self in. Okay, you ready? You put your whole self in. You put your whole self out. You put your whole self in and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself about. That's what it's all about. Is that it? Awesome. Good job. Good job. Now, how long has it been since you've done that? Did I say someone that's like on roller skates? Ooh. No, I'd fall. I can barely do it up here. You know, I don't have any balance. What this comes from, 2015, I was driving, I was coming back from Greenwood. And as I was coming home, driving by a preschool, it says, Hokey Pokey, what if that is what it's all about? I'm like, oh, that's cute. Kept driving. Well, unbeknownst to me, my unconscious brain went to work. And it's just grinding away. I'm going about whatever I need to do that night. And I get up, I go to work the next day. And so my unconscious brain goes, hey, conscious brain, wake up. You need to write this down. I'm like, So then all this stuff that it's been thinking about just goes, there you go. So I start thinking about, okay, think about it. How often do we not give everything? We just put our right hand in, and then we're done. We stop. You know, how often do we get to whatever task we're working on, or we can put our whole self into the task and keep doing it? So I wrote a post, and I shared it with the ministry board at our last ministry board meeting. So now I've expanded on it, and you get stuck listening to it as well. But I wanted us to take it a little bit farther, because when I wrote it then, it was more business-oriented. I was talking about, you know, doing everything for our clients, doing everything for those around us, which still applies to everything we do in our personal life. But I wanted us to apply it more with what we do here at church and what we do on our daily basis. The other question I have, or something else you'll notice, I went old school today. Most of you know I use my phone for my Bible. I've been using that for years, and so we're going paper. So Deuteronomy 6:5. I didn't know if you knew that the hokey pokey was in the Bible. If you did not know, turn to Deuteronomy 6:5. Or pull your phone out and type it in, and whatever's easiest. I hear a few pages. It's cool. So Deuteronomy 6:5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. So, you think of your strength, think of arms, right? So you put your arms in, whole arms in. Think of soles, think of your feet, right? Really? Okay, fine. But then you think of your heart. When you put your whole heart in, how can you get your whole heart in? You got to put your whole self in, right? When your heart goes in, your whole self goes in. So see, hokey pokey's in the Bible. Our strength, our soul, and our heart. We put it in. He calls us to put everything in. You know, so our whole body has to go in. Now, as a church, there's a group that has completed the We Over Me study. So as we go into 2020, we kind of want to take that a little bit farther, maybe the next step. And we want to put our collective, put the collective we above ourselves. Now, for you Star Trek fans, I'm not talking about the Borg. So we need to focus on putting our whole me into we. That's everything of me, not just we over me. Okay, yeah, everybody's, you know. But why do I put my whole we, me, into we? Not just part of me, but everything. Now, in my opinion, that's not putting everything in until I run myself ragged and I've got nothing left to give. I don't think that's what God wanted us to do. The way I look at it is I put my whole self into what God wants me to do. And when I'm focusing on what God wants me to do, He's going to take care of what I need. He's going to take care of what I need to have done because I'm focusing on what God wants me to do. So He's going to focus on what I need to do. Growing up, some of you might recognize this. Who's heard of the acronym JOY? There's a few hands. The way I was taught, Jesus, others, you. Focus on Jesus first, focus on others, and then focus on yourself. So that was what we were growing up, that brings you joy, is when you focus on Jesus, others, and then you. And that way, I'm the last piece of that. A lot of times we get selfish and we're the first piece. And I don't know what YJO spells, if you want to go Ejo or Yaj. But it doesn't work very well. Joy works a whole lot better. But, you know, when we think about that, it's not about me. It's about what I do and what I say. I'm just a conduit. It's what I let God do through me. A conduit is just something that carries things. the information, if you're thinking of a pipe, the water in the pipe is what's important. The pipe is just what gets it where it needs to be. The conduit that's got your electrical wires, your cable, all that stuff, you need what the cable is. You know, the conduit's just there to direct it where it needs to go. And so that's me. That's you. That's us. We're conduits. It's our job to take what God gives us and direct it where He wants it to go. Sometimes that's, you know, it's what you want to hear. You know, maybe it's our voice. Maybe it's our hands. Sometimes it's just our actions. Sometimes it's just our presence. Sometimes just being there. A lot of you also might not understand that me being up here is not natural. What's natural for me is back where Jack and Natalia are, or back in a back room, or teaching, or being up in front of people, being interacting with people is not natural. My watch had an update six months ago, and it measures my stress level, which I thought was entertaining. But I went back and started looking at it, and I'm going, all right, I'm going to see how stressful it is for me at work. So I went back, I looked at a couple weeks where it was, I'm working 60 hours a week, and we were just slammed, just trying to get stuff out the door, and I'm like, that's pretty low. And I go to Sunday, I was like, holy cow. When I have to interact with people, it's like stress levels through the roof. But when I'm focused and I'm working and it might look stressful to everybody else, I'm looking at my stress levels like they're pretty low. So for me, doing things is where I feel natural. And one of the things that I've always heard is, I forget who said it, but he said, God comes to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. When I get comfortable, God's going, all right, get up there. Do something that's not natural. Because when I'm doing things that are not easy for me, that's one way I know, okay, God's trying to do this. This is God's work. You know, me being up here is not me. Sometimes it looks that way, but trust me. But it's God's way of saying, you need to go do something. And He calls us all to do that. I don't know if you realize that, but He's called us all. He's not just called some of us. He's called us all. Now, He's not called us all to come up here and preach. He's not called us all to come up here and sing. He's not called us all to teach. He's not called us all to do, you know, but He's called us all to do something. And you know what that something is, or you might not know what that something is. My prayer is that you think about what that something might be, because He's called us all, and we all need to step into what He's called us to do. It takes all of us. When the book came out, It Takes a Village, I wasn't a big fan of that, but if you think of the concept, it takes us all. You know, the hands and the feet and the mouth and the nose and the tongue and the pinky toe, and it takes us all. I mean, God's called our whole body. He's called us to be the whole body of Christ, and we're not just an ear, we're not just a voice. He called us all. So it's our job to step into whatever that role might be and to put our whole self into it. Where we limit God is if, you know, if I'm just giving part of me, and I've got this over here, I'm like doing, okay, I'm going to do this, and my brain is over here, and I'm doing something else, and I'm limiting God's ability to do, or I'm trying to limit God's ability. Let me rephrase that. God's going to do what He's going to do regardless of what I choose to do, thankfully. But I'm trying to limit God. Now, if He wanted to work just through my hand, He would. If that's all He needed, or He just wanted my pinky, He could do it, and He would do it. If that was what was called. But He's asking us to give it all. Sometimes all we have is a hand. Sometimes all we have is a head. But God has called us to give it all. Matthew 22:37-40. That is the follow-on to Deuteronomy 6:5. And Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was. So hearing that, Jesus had silenced the Sadducees. The Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with some of your heart, some of your soul, and some of your mind. Is that right? No. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first commandment and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. All. Again, our whole self. There's two places where the hokey pokey is in the Bible, by the way. Toby Mac came out with a song, Till the Day I Die. And it says, he's all in, till the wheels come off and the spotlight fades, I will lift your banner high. So he's all in till the day he dies. All in for my whole life. All in for some of my life. Maybe on Sundays. Maybe on Wednesdays. Take the rest of the week off. I need a break every now and then, right? Does he call us to just come out every now and then? He wants all of us all the time. Those of you who've played sports understand about leaving it all on the field. You know, we give it our all until we're done. Peter, when you're done with a wrestling match, are you exhausted? Did you give it all? You have to, don't you? Because if you don't, the other guy is, and you're done. You have to give it all. Because if you don't, you're not going to get it done. We're not going to win. We know God wins in the end, so it means we win in the end. But we got to bring more people with us. And if we don't give it our all, it's going to be a challenge. So we want to give it our all. And that's even in the menial tasks. When we're mopping the floor, sweeping up, cleaning the bathroom, singing, laughing, playing, whatever we're doing, playing with the kids. All right, parents, dads, moms, how often when you've got your kids, they go, Daddy, 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 come play this with me. And you go, okay. You sit down, you're playing. In the back of your mind, you're going, okay, I got to go do this. And when I get to work tomorrow, I got to put this together. And when I do this, I got to write this report. And boom, 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 and you're playing. How often do we take the time to be all in with our kids? All in when they want us to do something. I'm guilty. I've done it. I will say the times that I have taken that time, it's fun. You don't realize how refreshing it can be to just put all that stuff aside, put your whole self into that task of playing Monopoly, playing Chutes and Ladders, playing whatever. It's fun. It just, like I said, it can be refreshing. Because then you're like, oh, wait a second, I wasn't thinking about all the things I have to do this afternoon or tomorrow or work-wise. But putting your whole self into what it is that God's asked you to do, sometimes what your kids have asked you to do. So what I want you to do, I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to picture what it would look like if everybody gave their whole selves to everything. Imagine what the world would look like. Imagine what your life would look like. Imagine what your neighbor's life, what the people down the street, what this church would look like if we gave and everybody else gave everything they were to God and what they needed to do. I don't know what you see, but it's pretty amazing what I've seen in my mind. What can happen? It's hard to imagine because we don't know what God can do. You know, even though we try to not limit what God can do, just by trying to imagine what it would look like, we're kind of putting our box on what we think God can do. But we got to get rid of the box. And we got to let God create whatever He's going to create. That blank sheet of paper that He's going to use, we have no idea what it's going to look like. But it's fun to imagine. Because we know what we think what it should look like. And letting God come up with what it needs to look like. Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. I'd mentioned, if we focus on God's needs, He's going to take care of our needs. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single day to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Seek God first, and then He will give us what we need. Now, if we are seeking God's will, what's our will going to be? I heard somebody say something. What He wants. So if we're seeking God's will, then you know what we're going to want? We're going to want God, what God wants. I think a lot of people look at that and go, okay, so if I go do all this stuff at church, then I'm going to have this fancy new sports car and this Xbox and this other thing and this big drill and this big saw and this, we're going to have all this stuff. But did God call us to get stuff? No. We're going to want what God wants. Therefore, our will be God's will, and we'll want what God wants. So when we want what God wants, what is He going to see? What would God see if He looked through our eyes today? Is He going to see the back of our eyelids? Is He going to see that we see the people in need around us? Is He going to see all the stuff that we want? What does God see when He looks through our eyes? Hopefully, as we give everything, that we are letting God, or letting us, see the world through God's eyes. And by giving all of ourselves, not just part of ourselves, not just this hand or foot, when we give our whole self, then we start to see what God wants us to see. It's really weird. I think I've probably talked about this before, but you have that little still small voice in the back of your head. And what's funny is there's been several instances where I've like fought that little still small voice. There was a time, we're still living in Louisville. Kelly's sister was living with us, and she had gone horseback riding with our hairdresser. A weird story, trust me. And we get a phone call. She goes, I'm at the emergency room in downtown Louisville at University of Louisville Hospital. And can you come get me? And so we get the whole story. And I'm going, This is before GPS, people. I'm like, okay, I know about where the hospital is. And I'm like, God, just tell me what exit to take. Tell me what exit to take. Just tell me where I need to get off. And so I'm going, and I forget the exact exit, but I think it was like Adams Street exit or something. And I'm like, that's not right. I know I can get to it off of Muhammad Ali. So I go down, I get off of Muhammad Ali, and I go down, and I turn on Adams. I'm like, okay. You told me. I asked. You told me. I know better. So I went a different way, and you showed me that I was wrong. Okay? In preparing for this, we went to Louisville for the week. And so I had done a bunch of the work, and my brain's been working on this for about a month and a half now. But I hadn't really written anything down. And so I'm like, all right, I'm going to have plenty of time in Louisville this week because we're not doing anything. And Monday afternoon we get down, and we're going to go see lights and stuff. We kind of move those plans. And so it's like, small voice in the head, why don't you work on it now, because you're not going to have any time the rest of the week. I'm like, man, we just got here, and I kind of want to just do this. And I had about 2 hours where I really didn't do a whole lot. I'm like, I'm going to have plenty of time the rest of the week. We're not doing anything. Friday, as we're leaving, because we've been so busy the entire time, I think we went to bed about 11 o'clock every night. My sister had come in town from New Hampshire, and so it was just a very busy week, and we were always doing something. And so I get back Friday, I'm like, I didn't have any time. God told me Monday I wasn't going to have the time, and I didn't listen. So he woke me up yesterday morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I did it then. We got to put our whole self into it, whatever that may be. If it's at 6 o'clock in the morning, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I've heard some of you say that you get woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and that's when you get some of your best work done. God's timing is not always our timing. Sometimes I need a big kick in the head for me to remember that and to go back and realize I got to do it when God asked me to do it. And that's the conduit that he's called us to be. We might be at work. We might be in the back of the church. We might be at home. We might be making a walk around the neighborhood. And God's put something in our head. Hey, talk to so-and-so over here. Okay, I've never met this person. You say hi, and turns out they might need something. Or you know what? They might have something you need. Sometimes we need to be available so other people can minister to us. We don't always think about that. There's a lot of times when we're so focused on, we got to meet somebody's needs, we got to meet somebody's needs, we got to meet somebody's needs. But guess what? There's other people out there that are wanting to do the same thing. And sometimes they're there to help you with something. It can be very humbling if you're not expecting it. It's like, oh, yeah, that really does help me. But we try to go, no, I don't need help. But when we don't accept help, we're also not letting other people use their gift of service. So sometimes we need to receive with our whole self. So my question, this is the final question. You guys are going to get out really early. How are you giving your whole self? Are you giving your whole self? I'll be honest, I don't always give my whole self. It can be very difficult. As I was working on this, it's like lots of things running through my brain. But when we do, when I do, I don't know why I always get amazed at the results. Because God, he's already working. He's already got things in motion. He's already pointing that conduit exactly where it needs to go. We just got to open up the valve on the other end, let it flow, so that where that's going is ready. And we have to be that conduit. We have to put our whole self into what it is that God's called us to do. Not just our hand, not just our feet, not just our head, but our whole self. And that was, you know, that was the culmination of what, when I read that sign, I started thinking about. What if we put our whole self in? What if that really is what it's all about? Giving our whole self, putting our whole self into the task. And so think about it. How crazy, how fun, how beautiful would this world be when we put our whole self in and shake it all about and just let God go crazy? How often do we let God go crazy through us? I'm a pretty reserved kind of guy. I don't go real crazy. Ask my family. Most excited I get is about this. So let God go crazy through us. Let's have a party of God. You know, let God have a party in us and show the world, hey, this is how it can be. You know, put our whole self into it. Put our whole self into what God's called us to do. You know, think about your week coming up. I know I told you be present now, but I want you to think ahead a little bit. Look at your week. What do you have coming up? What is God calling you to do this week? And are you willing to put your whole self into it? I know some people say, I bet I got burned last time I did that. You know, last time I put my whole self into it, I was the only one. Nobody else. Nobody even acknowledged I put my whole self into it. God did. Who's more important, God or everybody around us? God noticed. And when we put our whole self in, while nobody else might recognize what's going on, God knows. God knows what you did. God doesn't want us to be all flashy and go, hey, look at me. He wants us to do what he's called us to do. Sometimes people are looking at you. There are a lot of times people are looking at you, believe it or not, especially when they know, hey, he's a Christian. She's a Christian. Let's watch them. We've got to be ready. People are looking at us. People are looking at who we are. And if we don't give our whole self, we're not going to be where God's called us to be. We're not going to be the people that God's called us to be. If we don't put our whole self into it, then we're limiting what God wants to do through us. It can be really amazing when you do, you put your whole self into it, and then you get done. It's like, whoa, I didn't know that would happen. But that's God. That's God working through us. So think about your week. Think about what you have coming up. What can you put your whole self into this week? Think about next year. You know, this is the last Sunday of 2019. 2020 starts Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. You have a little more than 48 hours. You have 60 and a half hours. Then we have 2020. A new year, new opportunities. What can we do in 2020 that would just blow people out of the water? What can we do to finish 2019 so that we're ready for 2020? What can we put our whole self into at the end of the year that says, hey, now I'm ready for 2020? What have we not completed? Think about that. Think about what you have. How does God want us to be here, be present with our whole self? With that, I'm going to pray. Band can come up whenever they're ready. But be thinking of your whole self. What can you put your whole self into? Dear Lord, we've come to you today. We have so much going on in our lives. We don't want to limit what you've called us to do. We don't want you to limit us we want to be the conduit. We know that you can do some amazing things if we just let you. Help me not limit what you've called me to do. Help me not limit what you can do through me. There's just so much that we can do as a church, so much we can do as a church body. Just speak through us, speak through me, speak through everybody here as we leave, Lord. There's just so much you've called us to do. Help us put our whole self into everything that you've done. We thank you and love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would like to talk to me, I'm happy to talk. If not, I'm not offended. But be thinking about what God has called you to do, what God has called all of us to do. There's just so much. So with that.
This last song, you guys might recognize it. Would you stand with us? It is the tune of Auld Lang Syne, the New Year's Eve song. But the words have been changed for this arrangement. It goes perfectly with the message this morning as we look toward New Year's Eve and New Year's Day this week. I just pray that these words would minister to your heart and that they would allow you to think on what Brian has challenged us to think about. Should nothing else